So, we start today's class with the invocation. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi. Yoga Sutra Parichayasya Panchadashaha Vargaha Sarvesham Makara Sankramanasya Shubhakamanaha. We'll do a review of the previous class. In the second chapter thus far, we were discussing about the kleshas and if the kleshas are allowed to function unimpeded, then what will happen is that it will give both pain and pleasure, mixture of pain and pleasure. For the people, for those who are immersed in worldly life, but for a yogi, all these experiences, irrespective of sukha and dukkha, khlada or paritapa, everything will be only suffering. Dukkha meva sarvam vivekinaha. So for a person who discriminates, for him everything is dukkham. This point was further explained in the sutra parinama tapa samskara dukkhaihi gunavritti virodhaccha dukkhameva sarvam vivekinaha. So every experience for a viveki brings forth or has a seed of suffering in it. How? That is explained here. Parinama dukkham, tapa dukkham and samskara dukkham. Everything has these three. Parinama dukkham was explained based on Sadashiva Brahmendra's commentary that people attain pleasure and they expect pleasure in future, but without performing the necessary actions that will fetch future happiness. So this is Parinama Dukkham. And tapa dukkham is the current suffering, which means that even when a person is in a circumstance to experience happiness, something holds him back. Various causes that prevent him from experiencing that pleasure. Because of that, intense suffering is experienced. So that is tapa dukkham. We saw the example that a diabetic is unable to eat sweet, though in a feast it is served before him. Others are experiencing that happiness, but he is unable to experience. So this is tapa dukkham and samskara dukkham. A person experiences happiness or pleasure now and then, and he might not possess the means to attain the same pleasure at a later point of time. So what happens is the past pleasurable experience, which is now stored in the form of samskara or latent impressions in the mind, they keep coming back to the active memory, active mind, and then reminding of his state of sorrow now. He is unable to experience the pleasure of the past, a pleasure which is similar to that of the pleasure of the past. So these three are parinama, tapa and samskara dukkhas. These definitions, as I mentioned earlier, are based on Sadashiva Brahmendra's commentary. Now, but Vyasa's commentary to this is bit different. We also saw that Parinama, Tapa and Samskara respectively point to the consequences or the impact made by Tamas, Rajas and Sattva respectively. And but from the point of view of Vyasa, he says that what is Parinama Dukkham? When the senses are allowed to attain their objects, respective objects, eye, seeing, ears, listening, and the tongue, taste, all these, when the senses are allowed to attain their respective objects without being controlled, what happens is there arises an intense activity in the senses or intense craving in the senses to go to their respective objects again and again. So, as a consequence of unrestrained experience of experiences generated by the contact of senses and their respective objects, what happens is the senses get habituated and then it almost becomes an addiction. It becomes very difficult to withdraw the senses from their respective objects. So this, according to Vyasa, is Parinama Dukkham. So, and then Tapa Dukkham. Tapa Dukkham, and in a way Parinama Dukkham is caused by Raga, intense passion or desire or craving of the senses to go back to their objects again and again. So Parinama Dukkham, according to Vyasa, is an offshoot of the Raga or passion. And the Tapa Dukkham, again Tapa Dukkham according to Vyasa is that when in the course of our day to day life we attain something, we desire to attain something, and in that process we might we might have hurdles, we might have to overcome certain things. And in the process what happens, those factors which cause hindrances, they become the object of our dvesha. A person desires to attain something and in the process what happens is he has to overcome certain hurdles, and on those hurdles a person diverts or focuses his dvesha or hate, and because of the hate that is there in his mind, he removes those hurdles and he dislikes them and he moves towards his goal. So in the process of attaining the object that we desire, the hate that is generated in the mind is called as Tapa Dukkham in the view of Vyasa. For example, we are standing in a queue to purchase some train ticket or some ticket to the movie. What happens is it's almost getting late. So what happens, a feeling of unhappiness or a kind of hate starts building in our mind towards the person who is issuing the ticket. We think that he is issuing it in a very slow pace when the movie is about to start. Or we also have a sense of dislike towards all the people who are there before us in the queue. As to why these so many people. So all these kinds, so in our pursuit to attain something, all those that come in the way gets targeted by our dvesha or hate. So this itself, according to Vyasa, is tapa dukkham. So all worldly experiences are mixed with this tapa dukkha also. And samskara dukkha is the sum total of parinama and tapa dukkha. So Vyasa says that parinama and tapa dukkha leave their samskaras in the mind. The intense craving or getting addicted to certain things. That is parinama dukkha, and tapa dukkha is hate towards the hindrances in the path of our goal. So the mental activities that are created by this is tapa dukkha. So these two leave their samskaras in the mind, and because of that, what happens is we have to undergo sukha and dukkha later. By parinama dukkha, or in the process of experiencing tapa dukkha, we either commit sin, or we either commit or do something good. So in the process, what happens is all these are stored in the mind, and these have to be experienced again and again, and this is samskara dukkha. So the latent impression left by the parinama and tapa dukkha and their consequence is called as or samskaras, and these samskaras, when they reawaken, then they are called as samskara dukkhas. So this is the interpretation of Vyasa on parinama tapa samskara dukkha. And the second point is guna vritti virodha. So because of all these parinama tapa and samskara dukkhas, every activity in the world is full of suffering for a viveki, or a discriminating person. And then guna vritti virodha cha. Further, in every moment, there is a constant struggle between the gunas to gain supremacy. Sattva, rajas and tamas, they vie for supremacy over the others. Sattva dominates sometimes, rajas sometimes dominates, and tamas sometimes dominates. So, what happens is, that by gunavritti virodha also, as I mentioned earlier, there is unpredictability. So what happens? What will happen? How the situation might change in our day-to-day life? That can also be not predicted. And hence, everything, unpredictability creates, lack of predictability creates anxiety. And anxiety is a kind of dukkham. So, these are the causes of dukkham of every activity. So, a viveki looks at them with all worldly experience is dukkham. And finally, we saw that heyam dukkham anagatam, which means that, yes, so this is the description in detail about dukkham. So, and dukkham is suffering and not very desirable. So, what should be done? Dukkham heyam. Dukkham has to be avoided. Dukkham has to be shed. So, This is what the Yoga Sutra says, but the past dukkham or the suffering of the past has already been experienced, and the current suffering, we are already undergoing it. So these two dukkhas cannot be overcome, because these have already started or have already given their experience, the painful experience. So these two dukkhas are not heya, or cannot be avoided. So the past dukkha and the current dukkha cannot be avoided. So what are we in, which kind of dukkha we have some say? It is anagatam dukkham, about which we have some control. Anagatam, that which is yet to come. So that pain, that suffering which is yet to come, in that regard we have some control. So we can prepare ourselves or to avoid the upcoming or the future dukkha. So heyam dukkham anagatam. So the entire yoga shastra is centered on this sutra, heyam dukkham anagatam. Why to practice yoga? Why to reflect on the nature of the soul? Why to understand all these things? It is to avoid dukkham. Which dukkham? Dukkham which is yet to manifest, which is yet to come. So in a way, this is a Mahavakya of Patanjali Yoga Sutra. And this will also decide how to act. So all our actions should be in such a way that they help avoid any further manifestations of dukkha. Now, let's move on to the next unit, that is Chaturvyuha, the fourth unit of the second chapter. This is Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha refers to the fourfold arrangement. Chaturvyuha. Vyuha is arrangement. Chatuhu, or the word Chatushabda, refers to four. So this concept of Chaturvyuha, Vyasa says, is borrowed from Ayurveda. In Ayurveda, the ancient science of health, fourfold approach towards disease and its cure is adopted. What are the four steps? Is the first one is rogaha, disease; roga hetuhu, cause of disease; roga nivrittihi, overcoming the disease; and bheshajam, medicine to overcome the disease. So these are the four steps: rogaha, roga hetuhu, roga nivrittihi, and bheshajam. These four steps are there in the Ayurveda Shastra. So a medical practitioner or a physician should be aware of all these four, which means rogaha, what is disease, and what are the symptoms of the disease and other things he should be aware. Roga hetuhu, the causes of a disease, how a disease manifests, etc. And third one is roga nivrittihi. Roga nivrittihi is the state in which a person is free from disease. And dheshajam, the medicine that is to be used to attain roga nivritti, to overcome the disease. So these are the four points of Ayurveda. Similarly, Patanjali in his Yoga Sutra also adopts this Chaturvyuha, the fourfold approach in attaining the goal of yoga. Here also we see Heyam, you might recollect the term Heyam being used. Heyam, Heya Hetuhu, Hanam, Hanopayaha. These are the four terms in Yoga Shastra which will be used in the later sutras. So Heyam we just saw, Dukkham is Heyam, suffering is the one which is to be overcome. Suffering is equated to the disease in the Ayurveda Shastra. So suffering is to be overcome, and then Heya Hetuhu, the cause of suffering. What causes suffering? That is Heya Hetuhu, that will be presented later. And then Hanam, a state without suffering, or a state where the sufferings are overcome. And then Hanupayaha, Hana Upayaha, Upaya or the methods to attain that state of suffering, that suffering free state, that is Hanopayaha, methods to attain that suffering free state is Hanopayaha. Heyam Heya Hetuhu, Hanam Hanopayaha. These are the four steps in Yoga Sutra. These are the Chaturvyuha of Yoga Sutra. So the basic malady or the fundamental malady of suffering is treated in Yoga Sutra with these four steps. Now let us move into a detailed discussion of this. So previously we saw Heyam, that is Roga or the disease, as equated Dukkham as Heyam. Suffering is Heyam. And now we, in the Chaturvyuha, the second point is Heya Hetu, that you can see here, the cause for suffering. So suffering was discussed in detail in the 16th Sutra. And now the cause for suffering according to Yoga Sutra is presented here. In various systems of philosophy, cause for suffering is presented variously, but this is the view of the Yoga Sutra on the cause for suffering, the fundamental cause for suffering. The fundamental cause for suffering according to Patanjali is Drashtra Drishya Sanyogaha. Sanyogaha is connection between Drashta, which is mentioned here by the term Drashtra, and Drishya. So the cause of suffering is the connection between Drashta and Drishyam. So here two terms are being used, two new terms, Drashta and Drishyam, are being used. Rather, they were used in the past also. In the first chapter also, the term was introduced in the discussion in the previous classes. But now, let's see. Here in this, in the segment of sutras between 17 to 26, you will get the definition of the term Drashta and the term Drishyam. To put generally, Drashta is the Atma or the soul, and Drishyam includes everything beginning from the intellect to the world outside. The mind, the senses, the body, the objects of the senses, and the entire universe come under drishyam, the objects, and drashta is the subject. So, according to Yoga Sutra, the cause for suffering, heya hetu, is sanyoga, conjunction, or connection, or coming in contact. Coming in contact, what are the two things which come into contact? Drashta and drishyam. Drashta is the subject, the perceiver, and drishyam is the objects of perception. And as I mentioned now, drishyam includes everything beginning from the intellect to the world outside. So, this is identified in the Yoga Sutra as Heya Hetu. Heyam was Dukkham, suffering, and Heya Hetu, Dukkha Hetu, or the cause of suffering, is Drashtra Drishya Sanyoga. So, now the question comes as to what Drishyam is. So, according to the sutra, what is drishyam? Drishyam is prakasha kriya sthiti shilam bhutendriyatmakam bhogapavargartham drishyam. A threefold definition or description of drishyam is presented in this sutra. Drishyam is prakasha kriya sthiti shilam. Shilam refers to nature. So, what is the nature of the drishyam? It is prakasha kriya and sthiti. Prakasha, enlightenment or light, kriya, activity, and then sthiti. Sthiti is stability or stableness. Prakasha, kriya and sthiti are the shilam of drishyam. So, shilam is nature, which points to prakasha, refers to sattva, kriya refers to rajas, and then sthiti refers to tamas. So, the nature of the drishyam is it being of the nature of having light, of having activity, and also being stable or steady. So, these are all the effects of sattva, rajas and tamas. And the second one is bhutendriyatmakam. And how is it perceived? Atmakam. Atma here refers to swarupam. In which form is the drishyam perceived? Bhutani. Bhuta here refers to pancha mahabhutas. Prithivi, apaha, tejaha, vayuhu, akasham. The earth, the water, the fire, the wind, and also the ether. So, bhutam or pancha mahabhutani is drishyam. And not only that, the sense organs that perceive these pancha mahabhutas are also drishyam, indriyatmakam. So, how is the drishyam perceived? It is perceived in the form of both the five elements by which the entire universe, which are the building blocks of the entire universe that we see, and also the senses that help us perceive these bhutas. So, the nature and the form of drishyam has been mentioned. So its activity is based on the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, and then it is perceived as bhuta and also as indriyas. And then why does this exist? Bhoga apavargartham. Bhoga apavargartham. So the drishyam or the phenomenal world is, so what is the purpose of its existence? Its purpose is to serve the Purusha. To serve the Purusha in twofold manner. One is to help the Purusha to attain experiences, bhoga of the world, and also apavarga, to get liberated from these worldly experiences. So this is the purpose of its existence. So drishyam or the objects of the universe have been described in threefold manner. One is it has the nature of functioning based on the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, or it itself is made up of sattva, rajas and tamas. The second one is it is perceived as the five elements and also as the senses that help us grasp those five elements. And thirdly, the purpose of the drishyam is for bhoga of Purusha, or helping the Purusha attain worldly experiences, or apavarga. Apavarga is helping him attain the release or liberation. So this is the definition of drishyam. So we saw that the cause of suffering is due to the conjunction of drashta and drishyam. Here we see what drishyam is. And now in the next sutra, we move on to understand what drashta is. Or before going into drashta, drishyam is explained in a little more detail, because if one has to overcome the connection between drashta and drishyam, then one has to understand what drashta is and what drishyam is in totality, in detail. A clear understanding is essential, and hence Patanjali goes on to explain drishyam in much more detail. And guna parvani. So the 19th sutra, the next sutra after defining what drishyam is, goes on to explain the various states of manifestation of drishyam. Parva refers to states or stages. Stages of what? The three gunas. The gunas, the three stage, the various stages of manifestation of the gunas. We earlier saw that drishyam is nothing but the three gunas, and the three gunas manifest in various forms to create this entire universe. So that is explained in detail. The perceived or the seen form of drishyam is only like the tip of the iceberg. The drishyam that we perceive is only the tip, and its source lies deeper, and all that is presented here under the sutra, 19th sutra, about the guna parvani, the stages of manifestation of the three gunas. Vishesha అవిశేష లింగమాత్ర అలింగాని గుణ పర్వాణి. సో హియర్ సర్టెన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆర్ ఇంట్రడ్యూస్ హియర్, దట్ ఇస్ విశేష అవిశేష లింగమాత్ర అలింగ. సో 1, 2, 3, 4. This sutra presents 4 stages of manifestation of the gunas. So, essentially the manifestation of the gunas is drishyam. So, all the 4 stages come under only drishyam. So, and these 4 terms, vishesha, avishesha, lingamatra and alinga, these are special terms which have a specific meaning in the context of Yoga Sutra. In the general language, these might mean something else, but here these are technical terms that explain certain specific things. So vishesha, I think we have to come from alinga. Alinga refers to pradhanam. As we have seen in Yoga Sutra, there are two major things. One is the prakriti and the other is purusha. Purusha is the soul and the prakriti is the object, the world. So that prakriti is presented in these 4 stages, and it is the gunas that make up this prakriti. And when the gunas are in a state of equilibrium, which means none of the gunas are dominant, where all the gunas have the same state, then it is called as alinga. Alinga here specifically refers to pradhanam, gunanam samyavastha. None of the gunas are dominant and all the gunas are in perfect balance. That is the alinga state of drishyam. And next comes lingamatram. Lingamatram refers to the first evolute or the first thing that evolves out of alingam. That is mahat, the intelligent principle. So that is how it is commonly put. So it is the first intelligent principle, mahat, which causes later creation. There, as we see, that there is some disturbance in the level of gunas. In pradhana or alinga state, the gunas are in absolute balance. None of them is dominant, and when the sattva guna aided by rajas become dominant, then it leads to the evolution of mahat. Mahat is the first created thing. And after this, so that is called as lingamatram. I am not going into the etymology of lingamatram and alingam. I am just presenting the meaning of it here, the idea that it connotates, because there are multiple interpretations to the term alinga, lingamatra, vishesha and avishesha in various commentaries. So I am not venturing into that. But all the commentaries are of unanimous acceptance to the view that alinga points to pradhanam, lingamatra refers to mahat, the first intelligent principle. the intellect or the cosmic intellect. The second, this is the second state of drishyam. This is the second parva. So the first stage is alinga. So all these are guna parvas. The first stage of the gunas is alinga state, perfectly balanced. Linga matra is the second stage of the gunas, where there is dominance of sattva with some support from rajas, and then comes the two states, avishesha and vishesha. Then comes the asmita. From the mahat or asmita is created, the ahankara tattvam, so which is the ego, or which is also translated as that principle which helps the later division of the creation into many I entities. So this is asmita, that is avishesha, and then from asmita are created the 11 sense organs. They are called as visheshas. So what are the 11 sense organs? Pancha karmendriyas, pancha jnanendriyas, and one manas. So this is from asmita, the 11 senses are created. So asmita is avishesha, and the 11 indriyas are its visheshas. A kind of cause-effect connection is here. So from asmita, the 11 senses are created. So the avishesha, or the cause for the 11 senses, is asmita, and the vishesha of asmita is the 11 senses. So this is one avishesha vishesha connection, and similarly from the same asmita the tanmatras also emerge, and these tanmatras in turn cause the panchamahabhutas. The tanmatras are 5 in number. The 5 tanmatras include the shabda tanmatra, sparsha tanmatra, rupa tanmatra, the rasa tanmatra, and gandha tanmatra. So these are the subtle forms of panchamahabhutas. These are called as tanmatras. And from these subtle building blocks of the panchamahabhutas emerge the five bhutas, that is prithivi, apaha, tejaha, vayuhu, and akasham. So here we see that totally there are two kinds of vishesha avishesha connection. Asmita has a connection with the indriyas, and tanmatras have a avishesha vishesha connection with the panchabhutas. So totally we see that there are 16 visheshas, that is 11 senses and 5 elements. There are 16 visheshas and then 6 avisheshas, the pancha tanmatras and the asmita or ahankara. So these are the states of manifestation of the three gunas. So the essence of this sutra is that the universe that we see is only the vishesha, that is both the tools of perception of the universe is vishesha. The sense organs and the mind are also visheshas, and the things that are perceived by these sense organs is also, the Panchamahabhutas are also Visheshas. So, which means, as I mentioned earlier, all the Drishyam that we perceive, that we see in normal course of our day, are only the Visheshas, are the only the gross manifestations. Beyond them is the six Avisheshas. Beneath them, we have the Mahat. And finally, their original source is Alingam. So, this presents the structure of Drishyam in totality according to the Sankhya Yoga system. So, Drishyam here refers to all these four stages of manifestation of the gunas. And now, after Drishyam, we have Drashta. So, we saw that the connection between the Drashta and the Drishyam is the cause of Dukkham. And so, we have now seen what Drishyam is all about. And now, Drashta, the seer, or the subject that which perceives all these, is presented in the Sutra 20. This Sutra says that Drashta Drishimatraha Shuddhaha Api Pratyayanu Pashyaha. This is the nature of Atma, nature of the soul presented by the Yoga Sutra. This Sutra defines the nature of the soul. Drashta Drishimatraha. Drishimatraha refers to his being in the nature of pure consciousness and awareness alone. So, the essential nature of Purusha is to be of the nature of pure consciousness or awareness. When compared to Drishyam, Drishyam is made up of three gunas. Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, whereas Drashta is not further broken down into any further divisions. So, Drashta, or there are no further building blocks. Drashta in himself is complete. He is not caused by anything, nor does he cause anything. So, he is in the form of pure awareness. So, Drashta is not defined or described in terms of his causes. Whereas in Drishyam we saw that the gunas were described as the components of Drishyam. So that is one important point to be noted here. So Drashta Drishimatra and Shuddhaha. Shuddhaha refers to his purity. Purity here points to his non-changing nature. He is stable and he does not change. His form does not attain any change. He always maintains his pristine purity. There is no deterioration in his purity of being of the nature of pure awareness. Shuddhaha api pratyayanu pashya. But what happens is, now this is the point which explains the connection between Drashta and Drishyam. The third aspect of Drashta is pratyayanu pashya. Pratyayanu pashya refers to the fact that he watches the activity of the mind. So, three aspects of Drashta was told. First one is Drishimatraha. He is of the nature of awareness or pure consciousness. Second point, he is Shuddhaha. He does not change. He is pure. There is no modification to his purity. So, he is no deterioration in his purity. He is always pure, shuddhaha, the second aspect. But the third point is pratyayanu pashyaha. He watches the activity of the mind. Now, this third point, drashta, watching the activity of the mind, needs to be explained. What is drashta, watching the activity of the mind? It is the classical example to this is provided as follows. That is, the moon is there in the sky, or either it is sun in the sky. We see a reflection on the water. So, the sun or the moon here points to the drashta, and the water here refers to the mind. And in the mind, that is the water, we see the reflection of the sun. Similarly, in the mind, we see the reflection of the Purusha. So, what happens is, the sun remains the same in the context of reflection, but the water, due to the wind or by other causes, moves or shakes, or there is waves in it. So, what happens is that the sun, the reflection of the sun or the moon which is seen there on the water, also seems to shake or move. So, this is the explanation of the third point, pratyayanu pashyaha. Pratyayanu pashyaha refers to drashta being reflected on the mind. As the sun is reflected on the water, as there is the reflection of sun on the water, similarly, the awareness or the pure consciousness is reflected on the mind. So, this is pratyayanu pashyaha. Drashta does not watch the mind. It is rather his reflection or the awareness of drashta is found, or the awareness or the consciousness is spread on the mind also. This is the explanation given in the Yoga Sutra's commentaries. And when there is some disturbance in the water, the reflection also gets disturbed, and so similar, the Purusha also seems to be perceived as being disturbed. Though Purusha remains the same, though the sun remains the same, it is his reflection which gets distorted. Similarly, it is the reflection of the drashta on the mind which gets distorted, and the mind which gets the reflection of the Purusha thinks itself as the seer and present and limits itself to all the worldly experiences it gains. So, this is drashta, and this is the cause of all suffering. That is, the drashta being reflected on the mind getting the reflection of drashta, perceives itself to be the drashta, and due to the, and as the mind is in the realm of sattva, rajas and tamas, the three gunas, all the imbalances caused by sattva, rajas and tamas is understood or misunderstood to have an impact on drashta, whereas drashta remains in his pristine pure form without any change. So, this is a tricky sutra which has to be understood in a very, very slow paced manner. There is need, I can repeat it in the next class also. So, this is drashta. This is very essential, and this is very the fundamental aspect of the Yoga Sutra. This is the core part of Yoga Sutra which needs to be clearly understood. So far we have seen that the heya hetu, the cause for dukkham, heya refers to dukkham or suffering, the cause for the suffering is the conjunction between drashta and drishyam, between the subject and the object, between the perceiver and the perceived. These are the translations. Whereas Sutra 18 defines what drishyam is, what the phenomenal world is. Phenomenal world is made up of three gunas, is seen as the senses and the elements, and it exists, the phenomenal world exists for the experiences of the seer or the drashta or for his liberation. And this drishyam has four stages, the from the subtle to the gross stage. The subtle stage is alingam. Through lingam, it manifests through avishesha and vishesha forms. And these are the aspects of drishyam. And finally, drashta, the seer, is pure consciousness or awareness. And though he does not undergo any change, he is said to watch the activities of the mind. Pratyayanu pashyaha. So this is the explanation to the two terms, drashta and drishyam. And the third point, sanyoga, the connection. How does the connection between drashta and drishyam happens? That has to be explained, and that will be done in the next class. So drashta was defined, drishyam was defined, and the connection, the sanyoga aspect will be explained in the upcoming sutras in the next class. Okay. So we end the class here and we will continue about the concept of sanyoga in the next class. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam prabharam muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi.